You're listening to the ministry of Potter's House Church Wandsworth, a Christian Pentecostal church based in South London, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our call is to reach the lost, make disciples, and plant churches. For more information on who we are and what we do, visit us at phcwandsworth.co.uk.
Weapons that basically he's knocked you out of the battle. You're no longer where you should be, no longer on the forefront. So many times you have people that are saved, going to church for years, but not involved in what God is doing, no longer making disciples. Recently, you know, we just had Bible workouts that I do, and I was speaking to some of the people there, and they were telling me about how they struggle with making disciples, or how they struggle with working with new people. And it started to dawn on me so many times there could be people, they're good people, they love Jesus, they're in church, but many times what's going on is the weapons of the enemy have actually neutralized them, where they're not being effective and they're not being used as they should do. And so this is why we want to go through this series. If you've got your Bibles, Philippians 3:13, that's going to be our text to launch us into this. And so I want to speak about the weapon of distraction. We looked at the weapon of shame, but we want to look at the weapon of distraction. Look, turn to someone and say, don't get distracted. Turn to someone and say, listen, you don't need to text anybody. Turn to someone and say, stop WhatsApp. Stop Instagram, Facebook, listen. And you don't need to go on the internet either. Praise God. Philippians 3:13. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Let's pray. Father, we just ask you right now for your grace, your mercy. Father, I pray that you would help us. Father, I pray that you would cover us, Lord God. Father, from this weapon, Lord God, of the enemy that would seek to distract your people, even right now, things that we're going through, things that are on our minds. Father, let us focus in on you, your word, your kingdom, Father, your will. Most of all, we pray that Jesus would be enlarged, would be magnified to such an extent that, Father, your Son Jesus would distract us from every other thing, that we would see him high and lifted up. And all God's people said, amen. I want to minister about these weapon of distraction. You know, in the world today, how many ever heard of, you know, WMDs? Yeah, how many heard of them? You heard of it? Sometimes people haven't heard of it. I was talking to some people the other day, had they heard of the Arab Spring? And they were like, no, we never heard of that. And so it was only going on for a few years, and those nations got sucked into a war. But WMDs, you know, speaking about weapons of mass destruction. But I want to say in our world today, there are weapons of mass distractions. The devil has his WMDs. We live in a world today which is very distracting. Sorry, I'm going to struggle with that. So you know what it meant? Amen. And so how many have ever gone on the internet and you've gone to look for something and then all of a sudden you're looking at a cat, you know, doing something in a repeat? So it's like, you know, and so because you didn't go on there looking for that, but what's happened is you've gone on the internet, you've looked at something, and then you've gone into something else, and into something else, and there's something else, and there's something else. And so the reality is it sucked you in, it distracts you. Even we have laws now because the world is so distractive. It's against the law to be texting while you're driving. That law didn't, when mobile phones first came out 20 years ago or more than that, and I had one, there was no law. You could drive around, text, you could do everything. But now, because we live in a world that they've noticed, listen, this world is way more distracting. See, the word distraction means to stop you from concentrating. That's what the word distraction means, to stop you from concentrating. And so, if you're trying to live for Jesus, you're trying to live for God, can I tell you, there is a strategy to stop you from concentrating on living for God. There is a strategy, and all the enemy has to do is just distract you. How many know day-to-day life can be distracting? Just trying to make money work a job, pay bills. How many know that can be distracting sometimes? Marriage can be distracting. Kids and all of this stuff. So many times people are distracted by the things they have. Some people are distracted by the things they have. Many times God, people come into the church, they have nothing. They're going for God, they're living for God. And then God starts to bless them with some stuff. And now they're being distracted. People come to church, don't have a job, you know, haven't had a job for since 1970, whatever. And we pray for them. We come to the prayer meeting, we lay hands on them, they get a job, and then we don't see them. Because sometimes the very blessing can be a distracting. I remember saying, learning when starting to date. And so you're a key disciple, you're serving God. And when you start to date somebody, that has a whole nother distraction. And I remember wrestling with this feeling like, oh my days, I'm distracted from the very things that I used to do. Because just living life can be distractive. And sometimes the things that you have can be a distraction. You know, sometimes the things you don't have can be a distraction. There are many people that are distracted by what they don't have. Some of you here today, you may be distracted by the things you don't have. Singleness can be a distraction. Some people, singleness is a distraction. Because they don't have somebody. And this is the irony. There are people that are married and they say, Pastor, my marriage is distracting me. And there's people that are single saying their singleness is distracting them. Where everything is single now. Everything is, you know, it's a, no. You go to a fellowship and you're, but everyone's married to me. No, I can't go there. And so everything is filtered through this thing where it becomes a distraction, where we can't serve Jesus. I've met people that have said that. They can't stay single for a period of time. Because it's a distraction. Here is Jesus. He wants to save you from hell and give you an eternity with him. But because of this thing, I can't focus in on him. I can't actually build my relationship with him because I can't be alone. This is why we would say, listen, when you get saved and you come into the church and if you're in a relationship, the wisest thing is to say, let's put this relationship on pause so that we're not distracted, so that we can really build a deeper relationship, deeper foundation with Jesus, and then let's start the relationship. To some of you here, I've just blasphemed. I've said something really bad because just you giving, just putting that on pause would be a major distraction. You know, we can be distracted by the money we don't have, the house we don't have, the car we don't have. You know, Pastor Jay, I was talking to Pastor Jay this week and we were talking and he said, sometimes there are some men who have a wife and let's put this in a certain category. They have a wife, she's a 7 out of 10 wife. 7 out of 10. Hey, listen, 7 out of 10 is not too bad. And so, but he notices the three she doesn't have. She's a 7 out of 10 wife. She doesn't have these three things. And then he goes out and then he meets another woman who has those three things. And so he can't focus now. He's distracted by what he doesn't have or what his wife doesn't have. And she doesn't have this and that and that. And so those three things. And if he's a weak-minded man and he's distracted, what he does is he leaves his wife, has an affair or commits adultery or leaves his wife for this woman. And then he gets that woman. But what he doesn't realize, that's the only three things he had. So he left a 7 out of 10 for a 3 out of 10. Why? Because he was distracted. You get distracted. This is why when people are single, they get distracted. They cannot see. They start to, I just got to find someone. And you find someone who has a warm body. Blood running through their veins. Yep, he's mine. That's right, he's mine. Mine, 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 mine. And so that's how we act. But we're like, hold on. Let's look at the character here. Sometimes you see people and it's like, this is as blatant as the nose on your face. This person has no character. But we don't see it. You know why? Because when you're distracted, you can't concentrate. Problems distract us. This is a big one. When we have a problem, when we go for a problem, I've met many Christians over the 20 years I've been saved. And when the sun was out spiritually, when things were going well, they would serve God, love God, praise God, worship God. As soon as they got into a problem, they could not focus anymore on Jesus. And many times, you know what is stopping, or should I say distracting many of us? People problems. We've put people before God. People problems. Maybe there's someone in this church even is the person who is the people problem. Don't look at them. Don't look at them. Don't look at them. Don't look at them. Don't nudge nobody. Maybe you're sitting next to them. Maybe you came to church with them. Maybe you go home with them. Don't nudge nobody. People problem. There are people that you cannot serve Jesus because of someone else. You're distracted. You like, come on, let's live for God. Let's love people. No, but you don't know what they did. No. You're making them a distraction now. You've made them a distraction. Listen, there is no one big enough on this planet to distract me from Jesus. You're not big enough. It doesn't matter what you do to me. You're tiny compared to my God. And I should be tiny compared to your God. That's how we should look at it. Bitterness is just no more than distraction. You ever met bitter people? It's always what's on their mind. You start talking about something and they bring the conversation. Yeah, but you know what they did to me? Yeah, I know. Okay, we've talked about that since, 1980. Let's go around it. Yeah, but you know what they did to me? You keep going back to the same thing. You're distracted by this. Matthew 13:22, it says, now he who received the seed among the thorns is he who hears the word. Now, how many know if you hear the word, that's a good thing? I thought that would be good. Did you hear me? I won't do it. Maybe you're exhausted because yesterday you were celebrating. Maybe you was exhausted because yesterday we celebrated England, it's coming home. Amen. Did you know Jesus is coming home? Are you excited about that? Excited about that. But that's a whole nother sermon. Listen, as I was standing there and I was watching people worship, in me, I was going, anyway, but I've behaved, I've learned. The Spirit has to move. Amen. Look what it says here. It says, this is who hears the words, but look what it says, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. This is what it says is, there are people that they're hearing the word of God, they're in a place where the word of God is being preached, but the problem is, they're focused, they're distracted by the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches. What it means is they see luxury and riches and it's saying, yes, this is what I'm going to do. That's Instagram. How many know that's it? That's like Instagram. You see people and they're in a Benz and they're this and they're that. This is how it feels many times. But I want to say to you today, the reality is this is the deceitfulness. And when people get distracted by these things, the Bible says that it chokes the word out. That means it strangles the word. That means you can be coming to church week in, week out, but it's unfruitful. Week in, week out, but unfruitful because of a distraction. Because the reality is there's distractions in our lives. And Jesus is warning. What it means is that it says there's no room for the word to birth things in you. Do you know what it's saying? It's actually a waste of time to come to church. It's a waste of time to come to church and live a life distracted. To have the cares of the world constantly and focusing on the deceitfulness of riches, it becomes a waste of our time. And I'm not, I'm the pastor. I want people here all the time. The more people here, the merrier. I'm not trying to get rid of anybody, but I'm saying for you, for your own benefit. See, distractions are all about the heart. Did you know you see with your heart, not with your eyes? You see with your heart. The way you see things, you see it with your heart, not with your eyes. And the reason why I say that is that we've used this thing before. You know, when you want a certain car, you see it everywhere. When you didn't want it, you didn't see it everywhere. If you want a certain thing, you start to see it everywhere. That's why I'm saying you see with your heart, not with your eyes. Me and you could look at the same thing and you could see something totally different. Totally different. Someone could look at a situation and they could say, oh, God's moving there. Another person could look at the same situation and say, why are they? You see with your heart. This is why distraction is all about the heart, not about the eyes. The Bible says in Matthew 5, verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. He says, blessed are the pure in heart. See, how, or should I say, to the lengths of quality you're going to see God, and I'm going to see God, is going to concern our hearts. See, really, what distraction is a pollution of the heart. Things have entered in. It's a pollution of the heart. In our text, Paul says, brethren, I do not count myself as apprehended. What he's saying is this, I don't act like I've got it. I've arrived. I don't act like that. Paul says, I don't go through Christianity acting like, yeah, I don't really need this. No, he doesn't act like that. He doesn't go through life thinking, yeah, I got this. I've been here before. I know what this is about. I don't really have to take note here. Paul says, I don't act like that. He says, this is why. He says, but the one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward. He says, I do one thing. He says, I do one thing. I focus on one thing. I push towards one thing. I stay focused. I don't let nothing distract me from it. And when we read this, there's no wonder that this guy did so much with his life, because he's so focused in his life. And we have to be so careful, because the enemy has a weapon. And I spoke about shame last week, but the weapon of the enemy this week that I'm speaking about is distractions. That he has a weapon like an arrow, and he pulls it back and he fires it. And at one moment, you're focused on God, loving God, wanting the best for your life, loving people. Next minute, this thing has hit you and you're distracted. You're no longer the person you was, focused on the things you was. It's a weapon. It's very dangerous. It's an issue of the heart. If I was to ask you right now, what have you opened your heart up to right now that is hindering you from seeing Jesus? Because the Bible says, blessed are the pure in heart. When we allow our hearts to become defiled, has your heart become corrupted because of just the day-to-day of life? Listen, I got to make life happen, Pastor, man. It's not easy out here. I know it's not easy out here. I'm out here as well, by the way. I'm not in there. Is it things you don't have that's entered in your heart, where there's things that have come into your heart now, and because you don't have them, so you cannot see God, you're not seeing God as he should be? Is it because someone has offended you, someone has slighted you, someone has done something to you, you're distracted, your heart is no longer pure, it's contaminated with bitterness or with lust or with greed or with covetousness, and your heart can no longer see God, it's distracted. This is the danger, that Jesus can be moving and speaking, but we do not see him. Why is this so serious? Because one of the devil's strategies is he starts with distraction and then he moves to deception. He starts with distraction. Remember Adam and Eve? Adam and Eve, the serpent goes to Eve in the garden. You can read it in Genesis. He goes, can you eat of all the fruits of all the trees? And the Bible says there was only one tree that they couldn't eat of. That means they could eat of loads of trees. They could have eaten apples. They could have eaten tangerines. They could have eaten cherry. They could eat so much fruit. We can just keep going, 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 going. But there was one fruit they couldn't eat. What he's done is distracted her. She no longer can see everything she has. She's distracted by this one thing. What does he say next? He says, if you eat this, this is going to make you wise. This is going to make you better. That's how the devil is, isn't he? He's distracting people. He's pointing out things. Oh, you know, why don't you do that? Why don't you do this? Next minute, he says, this is going to make you happy. He deceives her. Distraction leads to deception. That's what it happens. You start to get distracted. You start to believe things that are not true about God, about life. You're distracted. Oh, this is going to make me happy. If I marry her, I'm going to be happy. If I do this, I'm going to be happy. It's a deception. You've been deceived. And then after the distraction and the deception, we see destruction. And this is how you see people making choices and in their life, and there is nothing being birthed out of their life. It's so sad. And it can happen to anyone. It can happen to the new convert coming to church. You've been honest, you want to serve Jesus and all of those things, and then that process can happen. It can happen to a pastor. You get sent out, you're pastoring, you're distracted. Nothing's working. It can't work here. Distracted. You start to get deceptive. This doesn't work. Next minute, your ministry's dead. It can happen to anyone here. None of us are above this. And this is why Paul says, the one thing I do, I focus in on one thing. I don't get distracted. I don't move away from it. The one thing I do. See, the opposite of distraction is focus. Or we could say devotion. You know, 1 Peter, the Bible speaks about be sober, be vigilant. The Bible is always telling us to be focused. Look at someone and say, focus. The Bible is constantly telling us to focus, to watch and pray. He said, don't just pray, watch and pray. Psalms 119:11, he says, your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Your word I've hidden in my heart. I've made this thing my focus. I'm devoted. If you've been in church for any length of time, you may have heard of this word where people say, my devotional life. How many have ever heard that? My devotional life. Some of you might not know it. Your devotional life, what that means is you're reading your Bible many times, your prayer life, you're coming to church. That's your devotional life. You're spending time with God. You're devoted. And I didn't really think about that till this week, that people that have a devotional life, that means what it should mean is that they're devoted. Those are the people that get less distracted. See, you can't be devoted and distracted at the same time. You can't be focused and distracted. It's impossible. And what reason why many of us can get easily distracted is it because we're not devoted. We haven't made up in our mind. We haven't hid his word in our hearts. In our hearts, there are other things that are pulling us left and right. See, how do I live a life which is devoted to Jesus? It's very simple. You make sure that Jesus is in his place in your life and everything else has to go around it. It's very simple. You say, this is my prayer life, this is my Bible, this is my church, and these are the standards that God wants me to live by. And so everything else in life goes around it. I don't move those things. The problem is that some of us, we've set other things in our lives, and they're unmovable, and Jesus must go around them. See, that is a life which is going to be distracted. That is a life which is living for distraction. And the problem with that is we miss God. We're going to miss God. See, we need God to open our eyes. You know, Jesus opened blind eyes. Jesus opens blind eyes. But Jesus doesn't open just physical blind eyes. He opens spiritual blind eyes. Jesus wants people to see him. I was, me and James, we were having a meeting about the social media and all of that yesterday, and then we were on our way going to the impact team at Merton. And as we were going there, we saw this, I guess he's probably an English guy, I don't know what he is, but he was waving this massive English flag. This flag was probably, I don't know, it's massive. It wasn't quite as big as this projector, but it was like quarter. This flag was massive. And he's waving this flag, this English flag. He's happy, man. People, as they go past him, they're bibbing their car. It's coming home. And as I saw that, my spirit said to me, victory. You know, when people see a victory, it excites them, man. It excites them. And God said to me, but do you see my victory? He says, I conquered the grave. I've set you free from sin. God said, would you stand and wave a flag like that? Get so excited? I told these guys, when we went to Merton, I was telling these guys, I said, listen, there's a guy there. And I started to, you know when God convicts you, just convict someone else. It's good, isn't it? Share the conviction. So I started to speak to them, yeah, would you do that? And they told me today, as I was talking to them, they said, Pastor, when we came back, he was still waving it. That's like 3 hours later. Maybe some of you saw him, man. 3 hours. See, so I'm not saying that, so you say, oh, I'm so convicted. No. You know what it is? Maybe we just don't see the victory. Maybe we need our eyes opened. Maybe we just don't see him like that, magnified. Maybe we're so clouded and we see so many other things, so distracted. It's not that God is looking at us today, you're wicked, you're evil. He looks at us with pity. He says, you're so distracted over small things. But God wants to open our eyes that we would see him. He wants to open our eyes that we would actually be encapsulated by him. That when we see him, that the zeal of him consumes us and we don't care what people think. And we don't care what's going on. But that has to be God who does that. A man cannot do that for you. I cannot do that for you. God has to do that. When I was going to Japan, flew to Beijing, I said it before. When I got off the plane at Beijing, I knew I had a very short window of time to catch my plane to Japan. So you fly from London to Beijing and then from Beijing to Japan, and I was a bit nervous. It's a very short span of time. I've got to go through this customs, go through this, go through that, all of this stuff. Remember, it's in China. It's you know, different languages, different signs, all of these things. And so as I got off the plane, you know, I've been on the plane for 10 hours. I got off the plane, I come through, and there was a little Chinese woman. I assume she's Chinese. She looked Chinese. And so I'm in China, so it's a safe bet. And so she's standing there with a little sign, and it's got Mr. Low Courtney, and it's got my flight number. And I'm like, me. And so basically she said, they've understood that my flight is very short, and I can't be waiting in the normal queues and going through the normal queues. And so she said, follow me. And so I just follow her. She's moving quick. Those little legs are just moving. And so she's moving. I got my trolley. I'm like, Sorry, excuse me. And I'm just following her. And then I'm like, Courtney, and she's getting away. And I'm like, no, you can't let her get away because you're going to be messed up. And so I'm just following her. I'm keeping my eyes everywhere she goes. I don't know what's going on around me in the airport. I didn't say, oh, Beijing. Oh, wonder if they've got any duty free here. Yeah, some nice suits. So, yeah, I had no time for that. I just kept my eyes on her. I can't be distracted. My time is short. I don't want to miss my plane. If I go, yeah, you can clap, but if I get to the gate and the plane is gone, it doesn't matter if I'm 1 second late or 10 years late, I won't get on that plane. And so I want to get on that plane. I said to myself, Courtney, just keep your eyes on that woman. And she got me. She pushed me through queues. It was like a shortcut. People were, who's this brother? I'm like, I'm with her. I go through queues. She brings me to security. That she says to security, so I'm like, all right, let's go. And she just brings me through that. If you're Chinese here, we love you, by the way. And so we just go through, and she gets me to the plane on time. Listen, we've got to focus, church. We've got to keep our eyes. Listen, there's a short time. Christ is coming back. There's a short time. There's a short time. You can't waste this life. It's not, oh, I can't do anything. No. Get your education. Get your job. Make money. Buy a house. Get married. Have children. do what you need to do. But I want to tell you, all of those things, if they're becoming a distraction, remember, how do I put my life in order? Very simple. Is Jesus in the middle and everything have to go around him? Or is something else in the middle and you're trying to make Jesus go round? That's the essence of distraction. But let us keep our eyes on Jesus. I want every head bowed, every eye closed.
We hope you've been blessed, edified, and challenged by the sermon to reach the lost and make disciples. For more information on what we do and who we are, visit us at phcwandsworth.co.uk.